when the trumpet starts to sound. That's when this old world will be torn apart like confetti, and the ones who know God's word won't be around. If you'd like to be one of us who goes streaking across the skies, just believe that Jesus is the Son of God and for sins was crucified. When Jesus comes again, I'm gonna be ready. And my friend, I pray you'll be ready too. When Jesus comes again, I'm gonna be ready. He'll change me in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. And these two hands I've often raised just to praise him will be waving this old sinful world goodbye. If you'd like to be one of us who goes streaking across the skies, just believe that Jesus is the Son of God and for sins was crucified. When Jesus comes again, I'm gonna be ready. And my friend, I pray you'll be ready too.
Pray you'll be ready too. We don't know when that day is, but it's closer every day. Amen. Good message and song, sis. I really appreciate that. All right. Well, I'm looking forward tonight to a good message. Brother Wayne Mott will be preaching to us. Longtime preacher, used of God many years. And we have the privilege of having these great men with us as part of our church. And Brother and Sister Mott recently joined. Brother, why don't you come at this time and preach to us, and I know you'll be blessed.
Thank you, Pastor. Really appreciate that. And thank you so much for asking me to preach. I'd rather preach than sing. My wife may dispute me on this, but I'd rather preach than eat. Well, it's good to see you all tonight. Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter number 2. Very familiar. Yeah, it's on. Says on. Anyway, Luke chapter 2 is a very familiar portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 2, and ever since I've been saved, and my boys have been real little, so they grew up and left the house, even till today, I read Luke chapter 2 on Christmas morning, before any gifts are opened, before anything like that happens. Luke chapter 2, we find, of course, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find then there as well that as to the custom, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to be circumcised. We find as well that there was a man named Simeon who loved the Lord, who was faithful to the Lord, whom the Lord had promised he would not die until he'd seen the Savior. And then there was a prophetess named Anna, who had great age to her as well, that when Jesus was taken by his parents to the temple, Simeon, led of the Spirit, went as well. And there God laid upon him the knowledge of who Jesus was. And the Bible says that he lifted Jesus up in his arms, not only blessing him, but prophesying concerning his life. Jesus, as well, was revealed to Anna, who as well prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to draw your attention to one verse before I read our text. And after, I look at verse 39, two verses. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Now watch verse 40. I want you to hang on to this during the message. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, if you're able to stand, would you please stand for the reading of my text scriptures, please? I've entitled this, The Lost Christ, beginning in verse 41. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew it not, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, now this could have possibly been 5 days since they seen Jesus. They traveled a day, couldn't find him. As they traveled, they were searching among their relatives and acquaintances, and they turned around and had traveled a day back. And then it says here, very clear in the scripture, verse 46 again, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye yet sought me? Wist or know ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Now remember, I asked you to hang on to verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Heavenly Father, now I pray you might bless the preaching of the word. I thank you for the wonderful opportunity to stand behind this pulpit. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you might convey through my voice the things, Lord, that I prepared, that you've laid upon my heart tonight. And I pray this different type of message might have a real impact upon the ones that you want to impact. And I pray they not be shy, but would honor you and get to this old-fashioned altar tonight. I pray as well to be one here tonight who's never yet received the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. I pray when they leave this door tonight, as they walk outside, they might be able to know there's a place reserved for them in heaven. Now, Father, I pray you'd help me. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have trouble with my eyes watering today. Once in a while I get a day like this, and this would happen to be the day. I want to draw your attention first of all to verses 41 and 42. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. The first thing I want you to see is they had Jesus with them. I'll say that again. They had Jesus with them. We may have him with us in every circumstance of life. And after we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he's promised, my friends, never to leave us nor forsake us. And my friends, as I said in my prayer, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, tonight is the night to do it. 2 Peter 3:6 says, God is not slack, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. That any includes you, my friends, if you never received Christ as your Savior. But once we receive Christ as our Savior, my friends, we have him in our daily walk. Every day, every step, he is with us. And no matter what our need is, every day, he can meet that need. He can give us what we need, even if that need is not fulfilled the way we want it to be filled. We have him every day. We have accidents. There's some broken bones here in the auditorium tonight. And that's not how you join the church. You join to the. But anyway, Christ is always with us once we trust him as our personal Savior. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers according to his precious will, my friends, for our life. And I got such good news for you. He is with us at the end of our life. My Bible tells me he's taken the sting out of death for you and I. And my friends, for you and I, it's to close our eyes in death and open our eyes in the wonderful, glorious appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where they always say, we'll walk by sight and not by faith. Oh, I do look forward to that day. And a lot of you in here will understand this. The older we get, the more we look forward to it. A place of no pain. A place of no suffering. A place of no sorrow. A place of no more death. The Bible says, for all the former things are passed away, and all things become new. We can have him as we leave this life, and we can have him with us for all eternity. The New Jerusalem. Well, I look forward to that as well. Amen. Coming down out of heaven as a bride prepared for the bridegroom. You and I have a place there. A place that Jesus Christ, my Bible tells me, that he is even preparing it now for us. It's wonderful to know that heaven will be our home. Not to guess, but to know. Not to hope so, but to know. We know because once we receive Christ as our personal Savior, my friends, he beats our heart. The very center of our being. The Bible says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I know it by the promises of the Word of God as well. But something happened here to Joseph and Mary. They lost Christ. It's interesting that that would happen. Yet God has a plan and a purpose for everything. Look at verse number 43. And when they had fulfilled these days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Have you ever lost for a little bit one of your children? I never forget when our second son was born. My wife and I was in one of those clothing stores, and she was looking and looking and looking. But anyway, the clothes are all in those round racks that are so close together you can't hardly get through. I'm following my wife around. She's looking at the clothes. I'm looking at the price tag. And that going round and round, we lost our little boy. And all at once we start going every which way. We couldn't find him. We start telling the clerks. But you talk about scared. Scared to death that we'd lose our son. And finally, I went out in the main mall walkway. And I started walking this way. My wife went this way. And I got about halfway up this way. Here he comes. Hands in his pocket. Just look around, smile at people. I could have killed him. But I did, because I was so excited to get him back. But it's an awful thing to lose a child, not know where the child is. And let me say this. Even as Christians, we can lose Christ today. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I'm glad that Jesus never loses us. But my friends, we can lose touch with Him through sin and indifference. You and I can feel unsaved just because we have allowed the things of the world to be more important than the things of Him. Anybody know how to say amen? I don't mean to mock you, but what a point. What a point that is. No matter where we drift to, He's there for us. And as a prodigal son, the father's watching for him to come home. I'm glad Jesus never loses us after we lose touch and communion with Him. I have some verses I'd like for you to turn to. 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter number 1. You turn there, please. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I want to draw your attention to some of my favorite verses, starting at verse number 3, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But friends, that is meaning we're saved. Now look on, verse number 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. It's reserved. It's there. It's for you. But now look at verse number 5. Who are, what's that next word? Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last time. I'm so glad I'm kept by God. I'm so glad I don't have to keep myself, because I would stay lost is what I would stay. And I feel so bad for those who do not have assurance of salvation. Assurance of what God has done for them for all eternity. But I'm sad as well for those who have lost touch with Christ, who've lost Christ in their life, even though He's there, but no longer had that communion, no longer had that joy, no longer had that fellowship. And everybody, or at least nearly everybody here tonight, could think of somebody who used to be faithful, who used to serve the Lord, who were happy. But today they're not even in church anymore. What's happened? They've lost Christ. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. I love these verses as well. I could quote them, but we'll look at them anyway. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for slaughter. And in many countries, that verse is happening today. And I believe there'll be a day coming. We'll see it in America as well. But look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come, neither height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What better promise do you need than that, my friends? God is so good to us. He's promised, my friends, that He'll keep us. He's promised as well that nothing can separate us from His love. And one day we'll have the glorious privilege, my friends, of falling at His feet and praising Him for all eternity. I won't bow my head. I won't stand and look at Him. I'll probably be prostrate on the ground praising my Savior. Amen. Turn next with me to John. Well, you don't even have to turn to it. It's John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say to you, let's turn to it. I might get it messed up. John chapter 24. I've been known to mess up a verse occasionally. John chapter 24. Well, I said I'm bound to mess up occasionally, didn't it? It's John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, 24. Yeah, I talked myself into it. John chapter 5, verse number 24. And I love this verse. It's a powerful verse. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believe on him that has sent me. What's the next word? Have. Do you know that's present tense? It's not future tense. It's present tense. Have everlasting life. Amen. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Let me ask you this question. When do we receive everlasting life? The very moment that we trust Christ as our personal Savior. In November of 1969, my everlasting life began when I received Christ as my personal Savior. When I walked that aisle, told that preacher, boy, do I need Jesus. And then, I'd like you to turn with me to John chapter 10. You're there close, John chapter 10. There's some more wonderful, wonderful verses. I want to start down at 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Well, it's good to know we're in his hand, my friends. No man's ever able to pluck them out of the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now read on with me, verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. We're in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is over all. How safe are we once we're saved? It is absolutely eternal. I said all that to say, even though He's given us all that, you and I could be out of touch, out of the will of God, out of service for Him, miserable, unhappy, and even feel like when you get up, you're not even saved. But He is there. He's there for you and for me. You can be God's child and have no power. You can be God's child and not even feel His presence, my friends. You can feel empty and unhappy. And we can lose Him, my friends, through indifference to the things of God and to our local church. And disobedience to His word, we can lose Him. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why call me Lord, Lord? Do not the things that I ask." How can I say I'm saved when I don't even obey Him? How can I feel saved if I don't even obey Him? It's interesting that Hebrews 2:3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" You know, a lot of folks think that's meant for the unsaved. I've even seen it on tracks before. Now, I'm not positive who wrote Hebrews. I used to think John R. Rice did. But majority think that Paul did. Paul said, "How shall we the saved, escape if we the saved neglect so great a salvation?" There is a thing called the Bema Seat of Christ. There is a thing called wood, hay, and stubble before the Bema Seat of Christ as well. And will not escape, my friends, if we neglect Him. Now, think of this for a minute. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. Every responsible parent's primary purpose with children is to keep them safe. They lost Jesus, my friends. And we, my friends, as well, can lose Him when we get busy with other things. We could lose touch with Him when we sin and fail to ask Him forgiveness. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me." Well, God just don't answer my prayers. I ask, man. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. That's the word of God. That's not the word of Wayne Mott. It's the word of God. God says, if you have sin in your life, you leave it there. You don't ask for forgiveness, He will not hear your prayer. You lost your touch with Him when you lost your temper. You lost your touch with Him when you began to do dishonest things. You lost your touch with Him when you began to gossip about other people. You lost your touch with Him when you began to complain and murmur like the Hebrew children. You lost your touch with Him when you let sin reign in your life. But I got good news. I'm leading up to it. First of all, we see verse 44, please. But they, supposing him to have been in the company on a day's journey, they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. I'm still in Luke chapter 2 with that verse. They looked for him among family and friends, but they couldn't find him there. He wasn't there. He wasn't in family or friends. They found him where they lost him. Look at verse 46 or 45. And when they found him not, they turned again back to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. They found him where they lost him, my friends. They found him in God's house. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you do not feel happiness and joy in your life, if you know there's some things in your life that's not right, you can get it right here tonight in his house. They found him in God's house. What a better place for a Christian to be. You know, when I first got saved, and my wife, I got saved a week before my wife did, we always wanted to be in church. And we tried to always be faithful to church. Now, we were there a little while, not a long time, where we were saved. And when offering would come, I'd put maybe $5 in the offering plate, feel good about that. But I see other people put these pink envelopes in the offering plate. I had no idea what they were. So I made the mistake of asking the preacher what they were. He not only answered my question, but he gave me a whole box of envelopes. And my wife and I found out what tithing was. And we've done our utmost to be faithful to the tithe as well as to our attendance. And God will hold us accountable for that, my friends. He really will. Busy. They found him, Jesus, busy about his Father's business. Are you busy about the Father's business? I hope and pray you are. Last of all, I know you're ready for this, and I'm going to get you out early. Look at verses 51 and 52. When he went down with them, he's back now, came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Jesus increased wisdom, stature, and favor with God. They were so, so happy to have Jesus back with them. My friends, you could be real, real happy tonight. You have Jesus first place in your life. Let's stand together, please. Pastor Goodman, if you would come, please. Every eye closed. My friends, we have an old-fashioned altar tonight. All over America tonight, there'll be invitations given. And people will be coming to the altar to do business with God. My friends, I'm asking you, if God spoke to you in the message tonight, God revealed something to you tonight, I encourage you, get to this altar and deal with God. You don't have to confess it to us, but you do need to confess it with God. And you too can have your joy, happiness back. Heavenly Father, I pray you to lead folks to do what you want them to do. And I pray there'd be real joy and happiness as we file together out the door tonight. I pray folks would come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Abraham Bell, I ride close. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.